Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodman here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Don't change that channel. We got something exciting for you about the nation of Israel. The topic of today's program is this, very, very sober. Our title for today's program is this: Is Israel still relevant today? Now, my friends, you need to listen to today's program, because all over our nation, not worldly people, not just radio people, not just secular newscasters, Christians and preachers within our very movements are having second thoughts about Israel's relevance today. Many of them are even wondering if that's Israel at all over there. I've been there several times in Israel. I've stood on the Mountain of Olives. I've eaten their restaurants. I've toured the Temple Mount and gone to the Galilee. I'm telling you, those are the Jews. Those are the Jews that the Bible speaks of. Let me read a verse for you, and I'll quit rambling here. We've got to bring Doc in. Amos chapter 9. That's a book of the Bible that most of you don't go to too often. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Let me read this to you, and I'll explain this as I read it. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. Now, I'll stop right there. What he's saying is, he's not saying I'm going to bring them back into captivity. What that phrase means, I'm going to bring them out of captivity, which they were in for over 2,000 years since they were scattered in 70 AD. God said, I'm going to bring them back. Now, that's a promise all throughout the Bible. I can show you that promise all in many places in the Bible. This is just one place. Then he says, and they, that's Israel, the Jews, shall build their waste cities. And they have, and inhabit them, and they have, I've been there, and they shall plant vineyards, I've seen these vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. I didn't drink the fermented wine, but I'm sure I had some of the non-fermented wine, right? And drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens, and they do, and eat the fruit of them. Now listen to this. Now God is speaking here, and I will plant them upon their land. That's Israel coming back. That's as Doc brings up so often, that's Ezekiel 36 and 37. That's Son of Man, can these bones live again? That's the rebirth of the nation of Israel. They never left. They never left the earth. They were scattered. And God said, I'm going to bring them back one day. We believe that happened in 1948, at least the beginnings of it. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is Amos chapter 9, verse 14 through 15. Look what it says there. God says, I will plant them upon their land. Where's their land? Over there in Jerusalem. They're there. Okay? I will plant them upon their land. By the way, over half of the Jews in the entire world are there now. Not all of them, but over half the Jews in the world are in Israel right now. There's only like 13, 14 million Jews in the whole world. And more than half of them are there. And by the way, this hatred of the Jews going on around the world, I'll talk to Doc about this in a minute, I believe that's what's going to push more and more of the Jews to go back to Israel. I think it's going to accelerate greatly in the next few months. You just watch. So God says, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I, God, have given them, saith the Lord thy God. That's a powerful couple of verses right there. What God is saying here is, I'm going to plant them back in their land. They're going to prosper. They're going to build, and they're going to have vineyards and gardens, and they will never be pulled out of their land again. You don't have to worry about Israel. You don't have to worry about them getting destroyed and taken out of their land. It's never going to happen again. God promised it right here and other places as well. Okay? So in today's program, is Israel relevant today? We're going to prove to you, yes, they are. That is Israel that's over there in the promised land. They are God's chosen people. They're not saved yet. Some of them are, but for the most part, most of them are lost. But their day is coming. God is not done with them. And you just wait and see, my friend. All right? So stay tuned. We'll be right back with the program. Stay tuned. Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here and Dr. Charles Hill DeVille. I was joking with Doc while the music was playing. I said, Doc, is there anything left to say? I said it all in that 5 minutes there. Let me read you page 109 in my book, Genesis. I should have had her put this up, but I didn't. But that's okay. This is one of my newest books. I love this book. I really do. I'm not just saying that because I wrote it, but this book is helpful. In this book, it's in two parts, actually in three parts, but I talk about the beginning of all things, which is basically Genesis 1 through 11. And then chapter 12 begins the beginning of the nation of Israel, the people and their, and here's what I put on page 109, the beginning of the Jewish nation. And it starts with a man named Abraham. He's Abraham, Abram, and then his name's changed to Abraham. That man becomes a family, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And that family becomes, as they grow and have kids and grandkids and on, it becomes a people. So you got a man, you got his family, then you got what becomes a people. And that people, under Jacob, whose name's going to be changed to Israel, the 12 tribes, his 12 sons, are going to make up the nation of Israel. So that promise given to Abraham in Genesis 12 is not just a promise to a man, although it is a promise to Abraham. It's really a promise to his offspring all the way through history. And we're seeing a fulfillment of that right now. So, Doc...
I think it's a promise not only to Abraham, but it's a promise through Abraham.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. It's through him.
That's right.
Through him, God
brought all these things. The promise is going to come up from God to each of the sons and grandsons that you just mentioned, and then to the nation Israel as a whole. This is your land forever.
Yeah. So... we'll have to hit some of these fast, Doc, because there's a lot we want to say. We may have to do another show on this, but I got four things here that I wrote down, I think four, and I'm sure there's many more.
Well, this goes with your new book, so I'm just along for the ride to kick in once in a while.
But this is right down your alley.
Oh, yes.
You wrote stuff.
My.
He's got a DVD on Zechariah that's very helpful, and Zechariah 14 is right at the heart of this.
Yes.
And why Israel is relevant today. I've got Israel remains relevant today for several key theological reasons rooted in God's covenants, his prophecies, and the redemptive plan. Let me just give you four things that I picked out here. They're relevant today in 2026 because, number one, God's everlasting covenant with Abraham and his descendants.
That's right.
That's everlasting.
Absolutely. And that covenant with Abraham really was that through his descendants was going to come the body for Christ and Calvary's work.
Yeah.
And so my question is to the crowd is this. If God can't keep his promise to Abraham, his descendants, to the nation of Israel, then how do you know he can keep his promise of whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved?
I think I mentioned at breakfast, I said, Doc, if America starts to get bad, and we got a lot of bad stuff going on in the country, and a lot of people are not saved in this country anymore, are we still America?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Well, I said this to my son and to a couple other preachers recently. I wonder, out of the 8 million people in Israel and the 330 million in America, I wonder if per capita there might not be more born-again people in Israel than they are in America.
Yeah, you were sharing that with me yesterday. That's an interesting thought.
So do we look at Israel and say, because you're in blindness and because you have the biggest gay pride and you have all of this other stuff and because of all of this, you can't be what God wants. Does he look at us and say, this is what I want?
Yeah.
I'm glad salvation and God's promises depend upon God and not our side.
That goes along with what I'm getting ready to say right here, right on the line, right spot on, Doc. God made an unconditional covenant.
Absolutely.
God didn't say, I'm going to bless you and your seed after you if you'll walk with me.
It's pretty obvious, because when you look at the Abrahamic covenant and its sealing day, what did Abraham do? He got so wore out, kicking the fowls away that were trying to steal the offering, that he sat down and fell asleep, because this was too important for Abraham to have any part in walking between the halves.
That's good. That's good. God, only God can do it.
Only God can. That's why this thing of the end time prophecy with Israel is on God's shoulders and nobody else's.
Joe, Doc, right? That's a show in itself. Someone needs to make a note of that. Walking between the halves.
Yes.
That's deep stuff right there.
But it is exactly
what
happened.
Most of our viewers haven't got a clue what you're talking about there. They might remember the scattering the fowls away.
Well, that's the first time in your Bible you're going to find the word fowls.
Yeah, and we need to. We
pictures
need to,
of the emissaries of the devil.
We need to do a show just on that thing right there. Because there's a lot of powerful truths in that story. And you just said it. Abraham could have nothing to do with redemption.
Right.
Other than he was used to bring the body.
That's it.
Through his lineage there, and the keeping the fowls away is a type of keeping the wicked people
out,
keeping the wrong people's hands out of it, and keeping the church pure.
And to have an understanding of why the doves weren't divided. I mean, Israel's gonna in the end be united, and the rest of the world is the divided. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many.
The Israel that everyone's saying doesn't really exist. That isn't really them. They're no good.
Yeah.
They're going to be. They're more important than we are.
Absolutely,
to some degree. Let me read that verse in Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, because the wording's important here.
Yes, it is.
And curse him that curseth thee. We quote that all the time. You bless Israel, then God will bless you. You curse Israel, God will bring a curse upon you in different fashions. Maybe your garden will flood, or God does things. But then it says this, and in thee, Abraham, shall all, and I circled that word on my paper here, all families of the earth, not just Israel.
That's right.
All families of the earth be blessed.
That's why I often say this is about redemption.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And of course, all people of the world benefit in this redemption that was brought through the nation of Israel, the Abrahamic covenant here, as well as other things, inventions, things that the Jews have done. They have invented vaccines.
We have this because
the word of God came through the Jews. Yeah.
Yeah.
The promise extends to the nation descending from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. The Bible describes it as an everlasting covenant. And you'll see that in Psalm.
How long is everlasting?
I don't know. It's a long time.
Well, there's probably a different meaning in the Old Testament than in the New Testament.
You're off on it. You mention that every week now.
I'm telling you.
I know. I hear it all the time. Well, that's Old Testament. That means something different in the Old Testament.
This whole book is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I change not.
And a door in the Old Testament is no different than a door in the New Testament. And thank you very much. Write that down, okay? Psalm 105, verse 10 and 11 is worth mentioning here. And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
Yeah.
That's forever.
That
covenant hasn't ended. It didn't get replaced with us. You got to be kidding me.
Well, and, you know, I think we're living in a time, Dan, where there's good men who are listening to the influencers of the Internet.
Yeah.
And many of those influencers, I believe if you put their supposed Christianity through the litmus test of the Bible, probably aren't even saved.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're listening to things and they're getting, I think they're getting confused. And they just got to let the Bible be the Bible.
I think we're stuck on ourselves. I think because we were talking off air, or maybe it was during the update, that you know, I have mentioned to people, you know, there's David in the Bible and Moses there. Look what God did with them even after they sinned.
They were perfect.
Those were Old Testament guys. You can't compare them to a New Testament pastor.
That's wrong.
You know what I sense from that, Doc? They think we're better than them.
Well, here's the thing. We are living in the Laodicean world.
Yeah.
And that is the spirit of Laodiceanism.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. That's why in the last days perilous times shall come. Why?
Yeah.
Because men shall be lovers of their own sex.
That's right.
And then you got the whole list of things. Because you're a lover of your own self, you'll be covered as boasters, proud, and all that stuff.
On down the line.
The key is lovers of self, pride. Right. Pride's the root of everything.
Well, we need to come to back to the place where, like the Apostle Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah.
And literally every morning you get up, your old man wants to get up and
I'm
take charge
you,
of that.
We were talking about this off air again. I think the greatest example of a pastor in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is Moses. I'm talking about a human man. Now,
that's because he had perfect people.
Yeah. You mean Korah and those that got
and
swallowed
the gainsayers?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, just example after example. The reason they don't want you to say that is God used those men even after they sinned and did terrible things. I mean, murder, adultery, different. And yet God restored them to their position. And I bother some of our guys.
I'm thankful that we have a God that when we got saved, our sin was put underneath the blood of Calvary's cross.
Yeah, we're not saying that if a man messes
and
up.
And it doesn't mean we have radical grace and we can just do anything we want. I think when you're born again, as you grow in grace, your want-tos are going to come in alignment with God's want-tos.
And I believe if a man messes up in the ministry, I think he has to step down. And if he's going to get back in the pulpit, I think there's a period of time of restoration.
But the Bible does talk about...
he's also lost some influence.
Yes.
And he probably needs to go to a different area.
And it makes sense that... the Bible does say, where a help restore such a one, lest the same thing could happen
in
to
the
us.
Spirit of meekness, lest I fall.
But we're living in a time where it seems like preachers have lost sight of what God has said concerning Israel. And like you said a while ago, they're turning against Israel. I have no idea why men that's been in the ministry 40, 50, 60 years, I've been in the ministry over that, and I'm here to tell you, I'm still right where I have always been because that's what the Bible says.
And that's our problem, Doc. I don't think our guys, because I debate with some of these guys sometimes, and their rationale is just faulty. They don't know how to study the Bible. They don't know how to define words. They don't know how to go back to the first mention. And
we've got technology, we got our phones and we've got all of this, the computers and all that. And I've read, and just like you have, and most of the preachers that might be watching us, we've read a lot of commentaries that are 200 years old. And my wife wouldn't let me write like that because she said, that's an ongoing sentence because they have 50 words in one sentence.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
And
you'd make it in three or four sentences because these people were dumb. They didn't have computers. They didn't have the education we have today. No, they had time to meditate.
Yeah. What we do with the click of a button, we can find every word in the Bible.
That's right.
Everywhere the word church is mentioned.
Whatever.
It took these guys hours, days to study and find
all. Can you imagine the parchment material and the cost that it took for him to be able to keep his notes? And I wonder how many of them had so much of it in their thoughts. Amazing. Yeah.
They didn't have television to get in their mind, there was nothing. Well, we got to move on, Doc. We've only hit one point here. That's an important point, though. This everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Point number two I put here: the regathering of Israel into their land in the last day.
Right.
Well, we believe that happened in 1948.
Well, the Bible said in chapter 36, he said, "This is why I'm bringing you back." Chapter 37, this is the process. And in all of that, we discover that God gave the actual four directions from the world in which they would return.
Yeah.
They have returned exactly in the directions as God said in the Word.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could say that the Israel of today, though they're still in blindness and will be until, I think, the Battle of Armageddon, I think they're still going to be in blindness till then. But I'm here to tell you, they are the people for the end time scenario.
I wish I could go back to 1948 in May 15. I'd like to know what the proxy guys were saying.
Yeah,
I know what M.R. DeHaan was saying a year before. I'd love to have heard M.R. DeHaan's radio broadcast after May 15th and hear what he said.
I don't know because I was born in 48, but I can remember my uncle in his teaching, and he was pastoring before that. And I'm here to tell you, from the earliest days of being able to remember, he was teaching all of these things, and he had been teaching it.
And of course, now that we're way down the road and we look back, it's clear. It's clear looking back that was the beginning of the restoration.
What is the saying? Prophecy is always in hindsight.
Yeah.
Perfect, clear understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, 1967 comes along.
Oh, amazing!
And they get Jerusalem, and the miracles that happened there—that is irrefutable.
Well, there were great miracles in 48. Great miracles in 47 or 67. How can you not see this? Because God is doing what he said he would do.
Yep.
I'm glad God's going to always do what he said
he would
do. A lot
of them have believed the lies that Israel is the aggressor and they're killing people and the Palestinians are the ones that are the being abused. It's totally, totally ridiculous.
But when it comes to that, Dan, we understand this is a spiritual warfare. And the spirit of this world and the spirit of this age is dominated and controlled by the demonic spirits of this world, underneath the God of this world. So they're going to push that demonic movement. Even though, can you imagine, you believe in, you're believing the pride thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yet you're going to support the group that if you were there, would throw you off the top of the building to kill you. Yet, that's full-blown deception.
Yeah. Now, I said here, and by the way, this is a transcript out of the new book that she'll put up every now and then for you. I'm reading right out of that. And it says here, the Bible prophesies that God would scatter Israel for disobedience. Now, this happened,
that's right.
You know, 70 AD, somewhere in there. But would regather them in the latter days as a sign of the end times and his faithfulness. Ezekiel 36, 37, and many other places. And Amos, that we already read at the beginning of the show. The theme appears in 36 and 37 of Ezekiel, Isaiah 11, Deuteronomy 30, Jeremiah 31.
Yep.
And the modern return of the Jews to the land, and we believe 1948, 1967, is that time.
I really think that it probably, I really think the beginning of Israel's return, the gathering together of the bones, I really think that was in connection with World War One.
Yeah, the Balfour Agreement.
The Balfour Agreement.
Yep. 1948 was big.
The flesh comes upon the bones. Yep. Yes. I'm convinced because one of the things that Jesus used in Matthew concerning the end times and his coming was wars and the rumors of wars.
Now, number three is pretty simple, and we've already touched on it, I think, but Jerusalem / Israel is central to the end time.
Oh, my.
I mean, the whole Bible, the whole Revelation, I mean, it's the holy city.
It is.
Jerusalem. It's
it goes all the way back to Nimrod's day.
So the people there, I guess all those people got to be thrown out and the real Jews got to be brought in.
I guess so.
Sometime between now
and the millennial reign, that 8 million's got to be displaced with whatever is supposed
Zechariah 12 talks about Jerusalem becoming a burdensome stone for all people. That's talking about the end times.
Absolutely.
And Zechariah 14, Joel 3, Matthew 24 also describe what we're just talking about there, this burdensome
is it not? I mean, you talk about the Temple Mount, and buddy, you got a burdensome stone. You got a trouble. You talk about Jerusalem and the Jews. It is the center point of it.
Number four, real quickly, Israel's role. Israel is relevant because number one, I'll just review. Number one, the everlasting covenant given to Abraham. So they're still relevant.
Yeah.
Number two, because they have been regathered in these last days. There's no doubt about that. Number three, Jerusalem / Israel is the central theme of the end times. I mean, Daniel's 70th week. That's Israel.
Right.
Number four, Israel's role, and this is down your alley, dog. Israel's role in God's redemptive plan.
Yo.
Israel gave to the world the scriptures, the prophets, the law of Moses, and the body that the Messiah would inhabit.
Right.
as he
This is why when you get to Revelation chapter 12 and 13, you realize why the devil is so vehemently set on destroying Israel, because he wants to keep God from keeping his promise.
Yeah.
And Israel is the one that provided the body for Christ. And eventually, that's the fulfillment of the of what I call the seed of all prophecy, is Genesis 3:15.
I put a little summary in here. Israel is relevant today because God's covenants are everlasting. All of his covenants,
that's right.
Not just the one with Israel. My covenant of eternal life when I get saved, that's a covenant. God doesn't go back on that.
And it's sealed in his blood.
Yeah.
And according to the book of Hebrews, because the tester has died, the testament is in full force.
The existence surrounding modern Israel with prophecies about the end times, we can see that. It points to the faithfulness of God and the coming return. Many Christians today see Israel's survival and return as evidence that God's word is true and history is moving forward to fulfillment of prophecy. You take away that building block back there,
that's
Israel,
right.
You'll hurt the faith of millions
because
of people.
It's I believe, one of the most important building blocks. But there are a lot of other building blocks that are a part of bringing the end time scenario together. Whether it's you're looking at the church age itself, whether you're looking at the world culture itself, where you're looking at the rise of evil itself, so many things are all happening at the same time. How can you not see that Israel is the Israel that's happening at the same time for that event?
Okay. I've got plenty more material for another day. I want you to take the last minute, Doc, and talk about this thing that redemption was brought to the world.
Yes.
Share that with our audience and what they need to understand.
Well, in the beginning, the seed form is Genesis 3:15. The devil's seed versus her seed. The woman doesn't have a seed. The next word is it. We're talking about redemption. The whole plan of God is to provide the redemption for fallen man that had happened before that judgment fell in Genesis chapter 3. And in doing that, as you walk your way through the Bible, you come then to Abraham's choosing. For what purpose? To have a genealogy for that. Then you're going to find a choosing of geography all the way down to the very spot where Jesus' body is going to be born, all the way down to what takes place in Calvary's cross. It is all about redemption.
And I hope that you have experienced that. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you've never trusted Jesus and understood salvation, contact us. We'd love to help you with that. All right, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.